Hi, my name is Frankie. I'm a physiotherapist working with BeFit Apps to bring you this podcast. With health and well-being in mind and in light of the current circumstances, we decided to have a chat with Hester Viney, a counsellor and trainee psychotherapist. We talk a little bit about what made her decide to go into this profession and really what we should be doing and thinking about during this time and what we can do to help ourselves look after our own mental health a little bit better and the importance of exercise as well.
I am a psychotherapeutic humanistic counsellor.
Okay, tell me more, what does that mean?
So that means that I have done a training which is part of becoming a psychotherapist, but I have got to the stage where I'm a qualified counsellor and I will continue training to be a psychotherapist. So that's the psychotherapeutic part. Humanistic is just our modality. So there are lots of different ways to become a counsellor, lots of different modalities, ways of thinking about the psyche. And the humanistic modality is based on the belief that humans have the capacity to reach towards their own potential. So if you were talking to me as your counsellor, I wouldn't be sitting in the seat of expert. I would be treating you as the expert on you. And it's also a relational type of therapy where our relationship might be a part of the healing that you need to move on to another healthier, hopefully happier chapter of your life.
So what made you decide to go into this profession?
I spent my 20s doing lots of slightly random things. I worked in TV and journalism and radio, and then I became a youth worker. And I found that all along the way, my favourite parts of all these jobs was getting to know and understand lots of different groups of people. And the last job I did as a youth worker took me into some quite kind of underprivileged areas, and I saw some relational and developmental trauma happening in these young people, and I saw what it gave rise to in their futures, what problems that produced, that sort of background. And then when I had a family, I decided I needed to do something which meant I could be my own boss and where I didn't have to work evenings and weekends like I did as a youth worker. So I started a counselling and psychotherapy training, and that's where I've ended up now.
What about, I mean, your husband is ex-Marine. Did that also contribute to going into counselling and psychotherapy?
Probably in a sort of sideways capacity. So he's had his own experiences of trauma, and as have lots of veterans of the armed forces. But he's also a very strong character, and he loves to live his life in the mountains. And we've ended up living in the mountains. So I guess he has shown me another way to health and happiness. It's not always about digging around in your trauma, navel gazing. Sometimes we have to get up and out and do things that make us feel really alive.
We're currently in lockdown, so it's a struggle for a lot of people, I can imagine. Have you got any advice for anyone?
So, yeah, I mean, this is obviously an unprecedented, really weird time to live through. And I think people living here in particular in the mountains, or people who are into fitness, who love to be outdoors, pushing themselves, it presents some real challenges. So if we were kind of starting with physical health, I think it's really important to listen to your body, to listen to your body's needs, and try and find inventive ways to stay healthy. The endorphins that are produced during exercise are so important for our mental health. And the experience of being outside, we may only be allowed to be out for an hour, but you can't overestimate the benefit of living in nature, being where we are right now in the mountains. We have the benefit of trees and rivers and mountains, that views of the mountains. We're not allowed to be up in them, but we can look at them and they remind us of the bigger picture, of time that passes, of things that will outlast this difficult period in history. We all need to take our own view of self-care. We, as individuals, we all have the things we turn to when we need comfort. And, you know, whether that's eating or drinking or sleeping weird hours, maybe just kind of slightly obsessively scrolling through the news or going onto social media and reading endless snippets from other people's lives. I think it's just really good to be aware of what your thing is. We've probably all got one. And maybe not beat yourself up about it too much. You know, do it a little bit. You know, give yourself a bit of slack, because this is hard, this thing that we're living through. But anything that gets out of control is going to do you more harm than good. So all things in moderation. And be aware that particularly our lives online, they are created to be addictive. There is no end on a social media screen. You can scroll forever. So what's your boundary? What do you need to do to stay healthy in that respect? Where do you need to say stop? Maybe give yourself breaks.
Would you say this is actually a blessing in disguise for a lot of people?
I think if you're not in a position where this feels threatening to you. So obviously for a lot of people, whether they're working on the front line, whether they've got a pre-existing medical condition, which means they're very vulnerable to COVID, or if their world is falling apart financially, if you're really stressed, then no, it's really hard to see the benefits of this time. But I think there are a lot of us, and I will include myself, for whom there are loads of lessons to be learned, and there's a lot to be taken from this time. I would say yes, in short. And some of the things that we can learn are, I think particularly if I'm thinking about your very active listeners, sometimes we think that we are what we do. We think that perhaps you think our identity is tied into the level of sport that we can do. And that's been taken away. We can't define ourselves by that at the moment. So this is an opportunity to feel who you are without those things that sort of prop up your sense of meaning and purpose. Because those things are all able to be taken away. There's a real competitive culture here in this part of the mountains, and that's gone. So actually, perhaps for people who have an anxiety to kind of be and do more and more, this is an opportunity to see what happens when those pressures are taken away from us. I think actually people who do suffer with anxiety are probably feeling more relaxed right now, some of them. So yeah, I think there are benefits to this, and I think we can focus on relationships. We can focus on things that make us happy that don't revolve around work and extreme sports.
My daily routine's been completely thrown out the window, and I'm finding it quite hard. So I've been writing little lists each night for what I need to achieve the next day. So today, do an interview with Hester and go for a run. So yeah, is that helpful for a lot of people, or can you recommend anything else?
I think we really crave structure, and it's really hard to have that taken away. Totally, making lists, even making lists where you can already tick something off because actually you did it this morning, can give you a sense of achievement. I think writing yourself a list and setting an intention is really beneficial. I think also the other thing is to make sure that you are connecting with people. Social isolation means genuine isolation for people who are living alone. But we don't have to think that being alone means that we are automatically lonely. I read somewhere that the difference between loneliness and being alone is the absence of the feeling of being loved. And there are very few of us who aren't loved. So who are the people that love you, and how can you feel that connection to them? We're really lucky to live in a time when we've got Zoom, we've got Skype, we've got WhatsApp, we've got FaceTime. There are endless ways to connect. So I think that has to be an intention, and maybe even include it in your to-do. Who's your connection with today?
Yeah, that's really good, actually.
I think actually it's important to say that for people who struggle with their mental health, perhaps they've been through a trauma, maybe depression was an issue before the pandemic hit us, it's really hard to go through this, to lose control, to have to cope with this, maybe feeling like you have to cope with it alone, there are always places that people can find support. I've offered to talk to people free of charge. You know, I'm not offering endless online counselling, but, you know, I am another person at the end of a phone who's available to people, particularly in France. But there are English-speaking organisations available. There's SOS Help. You can email the Samaritans in the UK. There are people who will help you if you are in an abusive relationship and you're locked in with a partner who is threatening in some way. You know, there is support out there. So please find a way to look after yourself.
Do you think that there'll be a higher demand after this for people like you?
Yeah, I think maybe in the future, yes. I think at the moment, people are still in crisis mode. It's really hard to process what this means to you psychologically while it's still happening. I've put my name down to work with frontline workers, medical staff in London. And as yet, they haven't managed to make the service work because I think the frontline staff are just too busy to sit and think about what it's like to make those life and death decisions about who gets ventilation and who doesn't. And I think that applies to all of us in some way, that we're living in a time where normality has just been completely bulldozed. So how that makes you feel and how that is impacting you is a really personal and deeply held thing, and you might not really know yet. So I think maybe down the line, I think counselling and psychotherapy will be part of what helps people recover.